This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights, the sounds, the scenes, the people. And on Tuesdays, the people are you, the listeners. We're going to talk about all your comments from the past week. But before that, I would like to say thank you to everybody that reached out since my impromptu podcast on Friday. Everybody wishing me, you know, get well, asking. People came out of the woodwork, listeners I hadn't heard from in a while. I know you're listening, but people, just thank you. I was going to list them, but there's a lot of people. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it. I tried to reply to everybody to say thank you personally. Hopefully I did. I am doing better with COVID. It's my throat is still itchy, scratchy, but I am past the point where I couldn't eat, which is where I was at on Friday, as you could tell by the sound of my voice then. So now I'm pretty much just like a head cold with a bad scratchy throat. I got another day or so sitting around here. But other than that, everything is going well. So thank you everybody for reaching out. It was pretty cool. It was really cool. I had nothing else to do. Honestly, I couldn't even sit in my theater and watch. It was weird. I tried to go down and watch some stuff in my theater and I couldn't. I just couldn't concentrate and I wasn't comfortable. So but getting messages from you guys was really cool. That was every time I opened my phone, there were more, whether it be emails, DMs, texts from people, just reaching out. So in the tweets, awesome. Thank you very much. Kind of really did cheer me up. And it a bright spot in what was otherwise a pretty dull New Year's. So, all right. But thank you. Thank you very much. So let's get on to the part of the show where I go, hey, if you haven't subscribed yet on YouTube, please do go to YouTube, hit subscribe. I do put up videos. It's been over a week since I have. But you can also follow along on Twitter at BrightsideHT. That's where a lot of these comments come from. You can also email at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. I get quite a few comments and conversations going on there as well. And the other way you can help the podcast, support the podcast, but besides just following along, is you can I'm still not 100%. Not that I'm ever 100% speaking. You can support the podcast monetarily by going to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater, and you can sign up to have a monthly donation given to me. Most of it comes to me. A little bit goes to Patreon. And this is being the beginning of the month. I would like to thank all of my patrons personally. So we will go in order. We will go with Reginald, John, David, Ilongo, Anthony, Brad, Paul, Graham, Carl, Brian, Tom, Vincent, Dean, and John, David, and Matt. Thank you very much for supporting me. And also, along those lines, John upped his pledge this past week, right after my podcast came out on Friday. I got a notification that John upped his pledge from what he was giving before. So he added on to it. I hope that had nothing to do. You weren't just feeling bad for me because of COVID. I appreciate it either way. But that's not, you know, I don't want to take money because I'm sick. But yes, thank you, John. I really appreciate that. That was really cool. So thank you to everybody. The beginning of the month, I'd like to thank everybody. Hopefully we can get that list up. I'm at 16. I believe I lost one last month, maybe. So, but whatever. I actually heard that there is a way I can actually send a message to them. I'm not huge into this stuff. I don't go through Patreon a ton, but I think there is actually a way that I could send a message to see why people have dropped. But I really don't want to put people in that position. Thank you. If you, like I said last month, if you've supported me in the past, and thank you very much. And I don't want to put people in the position and be like, why did you leave? And be like, things happen. And I don't want to put somebody in an uncomfortable position to either say, I can't afford it. That's not fun to say. And, or DJ, you stink. Nobody wants to tell me that. Just drop off and go away. But, so either way, it's an uncomfortable position. So just thank you very much. And if you find the time later and can support me again, that's great too. If not, just follow along on Twitter and comment. That's always fun. That's what most of this is. So, all right. Thank you very much. And let's move on to, all my new Twitter followers, as a matter of fact. We picked up 5 new people this week. We had Weifu, and it's at Maria.046884888. That's the call sign. So, Jay Wally at PhillyNut1014. Roland Kowalski at Pillis Father. Diego DID13AAJ at that. And then there's also another Diego, and he's private, so I won't share his. But there's a second Diego, so 2 Diegos this week: Roland, Jay Wally, and Weifu. Thank you very much for following along. Enjoy the conversation. Join in on the conversation. All right. Let's go to this one. Was in last week's show notes. If anybody reads the show notes, you'll see I had Finch in the show notes with WV Brews quote. Says, really well made video audio soundtrack, kind of like Sci-Fi Castaway. Recommending we see Finch. I don't remember talking about it, and I don't know how that happened because it made it into the show notes. So if you look at last week's show notes, it's there, but I didn't talk about it. So I figured I'd talk about it this week. I haven't seen Finch. I know the ending. I asked a buddy of mine. It sounds like I wouldn't like the ending, so I am choosing to not see it. I don't want to deal with that right now. It is really good. I have heard that it is really good, but sometimes these emotional roller coaster movies, I just kind of avoid them. And right now I choose not to deal in those emotions. All right, moving on. We have Ken Giffey Jr. He says, retweeted to me at BrightsideHT with a crying face, sad face, angry face. Says, going to be a while for John Wick 4. And I clicked on the link in the show. I added the link to the show notes. You can read the article from Cosmic Book News. And it's basically something happened on set. I haven't had a chance to read it. I got this last week. But it looks like John Wick 4 is delayed indefinitely for right now. So looks like sad news for that. My buddy Joseph Hotzel, he sent to me and Rob at First Reflect. He says, on this date, he retweeted this time hop tweet, says, on this date in 1982, Dolby brought the sound of the movies to your living room with 3 channels and 4 speakers. It was surround sound from the comfort of your couch. And it's at a picture of a little dinosaur, looks like, sitting there watching Dolby surround sound. And that's what it was. It was 4 speakers. And obviously in the early 80s, that's all they had. And it was until the late 80s that they came up with ProLogic. And that was logical, that you had a center channel to anchor the dialogue to the screen. And it was still the same exact track for, 3 channels, and they would matrix the front 2 to give you your center channel, and then your rear channels were that was actually the same sound coming out of two speakers. So it was pretty cool. And that's what enabled us to get to 5.1, which was Dolby AC3 at the time when they first came out with it. And they were off and running. But 1982, Dolby brought it home to the living room, which is pretty good considering it was only in 1977 that they started instituting it in the theaters. So that's 5 years later. So and that was with Star Wars. They started in George Lucas, as we know, we've been talking about on this podcast a bunch, that George Lucas said, if you want the 70 millimeter cut, you have to have Dolby surround in your theater and of Star Wars to get that. So, all right. G. Cornell replying to my comments last week on X-Files. He said, enjoyed listening to your comments on the podcast this morning. In season one, in indoor scenes, their voices aren't the best. Somewhat artificial, such as in Mulder's basement office. What season does it get better? He says. And then unevenness to the volume of people speaking indoors from one location to another. You experienced the ambient voices much the way I did, even though we have different brand electronics and different room acoustics. When I have the discs, I'll do an AB versus the Amazon stream for audio and video. Can take some pictures and we can have a side-by-side analysis. Sounds good, G. Cornell. I'd be interested to see. I don't know. I mentioned last week, I watched it on Hulu and I thought it was fantastic. The sound and the picture were really good. Picture was actually the same on Amazon. But if you can get access to it on Hulu, just give it a try, G. Cornell, because it is a lot better, I thought, anyways, than over Amazon. But I'll be interested to hear what it sounds and looks like on disc, too. And and this got me to thinking. I went up to my wife because we like watching this, and I said, "Do you want to start watching X-Files again?" And then where were we? It was on Monday, I think it was, after I had watched the X-Files thing. So Monday we were heading to a Christmas party. And I said, how about this? And blah, blah, blah. And we got to talking. And next thing you know, we were like, what about 24? So we were like all excited. We watched 24 years ago. I used to actually rent them on disc from Netflix. And we used to binge 24 that way. And we decided we'd go back through, and that's also on Hulu. So we started back in on it. We went down into the theater and we're like all excited for it, and it doesn't look very good. It did not translate the way X-Files did, which is a lot older. 24 came out in 2001, and X-Files season one was in 93, and I like that a lot. I like the production a lot better. It looks a lot nicer. I like the show 24. But I think I'm going to try and stick with X-Files when I get back into watching more and more stuff. But 24 didn't look good. We are still watching it, but not in the theater because it just was too grainy. The sound on it wasn't anything to write home about. So we're actually watching it in the living room instead. It looks fine on a smaller. We have a 55 inch in the living room, so it doesn't look bad at all up there. But on the big screen, the grain, everything, we weren't impressed. So, but X-Files, that looked really good. So thanks for that, G. Cornell. That inspired us to start another show together. Reginald Boyd says, at Brightside HD, can't wait for Pulp Fiction in 4K UHD. You and me both, buddy. I cannot wait for that. I don't know why, but I've got this feeling that it's such a vibrant movie, but it's the soundtrack, I think, that's so vibrant to me. It's maybe the colors. I know the poster is very vibrant. I know everything. It feels like this movie is going to pop off the screen when we see it in 4K. And I'm not sure why. It's not like Willy Wonka. It's in the Chocolate Factory. It's not supposed to be like that. I just feel like that's because it's so out there, and it's such a great movie that I honestly can't wait. And I don't know if the dialogue could be much clearer. I don't expect this to be in Atmos or DTS:X. I'd be shocked, honestly, if it was, because Quentin Tarantino is a lot like Christopher Nolan in that he really likes the 5.1 sound. And maybe they could remaster it and make it even nicer. But I always thought the soundtrack sounded great on this in most of my versions that I've watched going back to Laserdisc days. But the picture, I think, should be really good. That'll be really nice to see in 4K and with HDR. So, all right, moving on. Graham Cole at Brightside HD. Just push play on this show. Welcome to Earth, Season 1, Episode 1, 44 minutes, beautifully shot, and had some really good sound. This episode is all about nature and sound, from the explosions of volcanoes to the silence of caves. Go full reference for sure on this one. And I added this to the show notes again. And if any of this sounds familiar, Graham, very like-minded to John Z's tweet last week, Welcome to Earth on Disney Plus, says, highly recommend Welcome to Earth on Disney Plus, especially episode 1, Base Heaven. That's what I was saying last week. So Graham Cole nailed it on this one. I love this idea. I like the explanation, Graham, though, that it's about nature and sound and the explosions of volcanoes and the silence of caves. That's actually a really good analogy right there, or you know, juxtaposition, actually, the two, loud and then quiet. So I'm really interested in that. So I'll definitely be checking that out. Thank you. So in anybody else, I think we should check that out. It's 2 weeks in a row, two different people talking about it. So thanks, Graham. HD report. Thanks at Ralph AV's AVS Reviews and Brightside HD for helping us rank the top 10 best 4K Blu-ray discs of 2021. And this is in the show notes. Check this out. We ranked the top 10. We each came up with a different list of 10, and then we used this little algorithm type thing to come up with our top 10 out of the three of us coming up with our lists. Check it out. Make some comments. That's what it's there for. You know, help Jeff out a little bit and send out some support. And hopefully Jeff and I are trying to get together. I was supposed to record with him for this week's show. That's what's coming up this week. Jeff and I are going to do our year-end wrap-up 2021 best home theater experiences, not just 4K discs. And hopefully that gets done this week so that I can have that out for Friday. But as you can tell, we've been slightly delayed. I don't think it should be a problem, but we should be able to get that out by Friday. So that will be Friday's podcast. And as soon as I can get the time and the energy, I will be getting out that Lord of the Rings podcast as well. Be looking out for that. That's not going to drop on a Friday. I'm just going to get that out because I owe you guys that I've owed you guys that one for a while. So, all right, moving on. WV Brew at Brightside HT. It was definitely as good as some of Indiana Jones sequels. Surprised. And he's talking about Disney's Jungle Cruise with Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Emily Blunt. And I really, really like this. My wife and I watched this way, way back when it was just on Disney Plus for $30 or whatever it was at the time we paid for it. And we had so much fun with it. I can't say I was surprised. I like The Rock. I think he's fine. I like Emily Blunt. I like everything she's in. It's almost like she can't do anything wrong. It was almost, I guess you could say, yeah, it was almost as good as some Indiana Jones sequels. It's not as good as those, but it's just so much fun. It's a different type of movie. It's just fun. And then at the end, you're like, it was funny. It was just a fun ride, literally just a fun ride, and really enjoyed it. And it's a really good home theater experience too. A lot of good stuff going on and all in the surrounds and the overheads. Some decent bass. I haven't seen the disc yet. I have it, but I haven't seen the disc yet. But I really enjoyed it on Disney Plus. So check that out. And WV Brew agrees with me. Martin emails me with a Kaleidoscape review, and I read this review. It's from Sound and Vision. I put the link to this in the show notes, and I highly recommend this review, especially anybody skeptical on this Kaleidoscape. And the reason I recommend it is because the reviewer says that both the negatives and the positives, and he does a fair shake of it and explains, like, yeah, there's some negatives to it, and there's some things that, you know, not exactly perfect. Nothing is. And, but yeah, he goes through it all, but says it's still a worthwhile product, if you're in that market. But, yeah, definitely check it out, because he does a really good job at telling you the truth about everything, and having been an owner of one for a year. So he went through everything, and I thought it was a really good and fair review. So check it out. WV Brew at Brightside HT dropped $50. Lots of new content. And this is a Ghostbusters Ultimate Collection on Amazon, dropped to $99.99, and it's got a ton of new content on it. So, and I didn't put this one in the show notes, I don't think, but it's got the, if you go to Blu-ray.com, they have a link there of all the different new content that it comes with. But comes with the ghost trapping machine. That's what all the discs are in and stuff. It's a pretty cool looking case. But yeah, check that out on Amazon, the Ghostbusters Ultimate Collection. It's only $100. Just a small update photo. BJ Horton sent a photo, and it is beautiful. It looks like he's painted the walls. So BJ Horton's working, plugging away, working on his home theater. And he says, just wanted to share. You guys have kept me motivated. I am leaving the partition wall down. I just like the room better. I'll have to make it work acoustically. But it looks like it's got some carpet in it. There's some paint on the walls. The ceiling is painted black. It looks really nice. And you think just a couple months ago, it was just a garage bay. And it looks so nice right now. So keep up the good work, BJ. It looks awesome. Joseph Hotzel again says, interesting, at First Reflect, at AV Rant Tom, and at Brightside HD, an option for sound panels for non-DIYers seem a bit spendy here, but here they are. And it's Owens Corning black rectangle 24x48 sound absorption panels. They're very nice looking. So I checked them out, and I was like, oh, this, it was like $200. You get two in a package, so it's $100 each. But they're only an inch and one-eighth thick. So I said they look nice. The price isn't horrible at $100 a panel for a non-DIY. They do look really nice, I said. But maybe a good solution for first reflection points and or a few on the back wall to help with center channel clarity. And I said, but I'd defer to Tom and Rob on their effectiveness first. And, of course, that's why I defer. Rob chimes in. He's like, bad deal, too thin, too expensive. These would alter the timbre of voices because they aren't thick enough to even cover the entire vocal range. I suppose you could mount them with an air gap, but who's honestly going to do that with these? And he's right. He's like, it's meant for, you know, people that don't want to have to do anything. You're just supposed to hang them on the wall. So I would guess, I suppose, they're better than nothing, but I would go with Rob on this. And if it's like, if it's a bad deal, I would just look for something cheaper that, you know, it doesn't sound like these are, it says in their description they're meant for home theater, but this looks like it's meant for something like if you have a living room that's just too reflective and you want something, it comes in different colors and you just want to make your conversation sound a little bit less like intrusive, like bothersome and echoey in the room. But maybe in a home theater environment where you're looking for accuracy of sound, it might not be so good. So, but hey, it doesn't hurt to ask. So thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. And the last one we have this week is an email. And this one here, I'm going to read in full because this is tough. This comes from Kevin. And, I read this the other night and I was like, oh man, I feel bad, but it's home theater. So let's see. He said it's the subject of this is high tech, high failure rate is draining my will to upgrade. It says, DJ, can you talk me down off the ledge? I have had a lot of receiver trouble over the past 2 years, and I'm thinking how simple it would be to listen in 2.1 instead of surround. I could use any receiver from the past 25 years and get out of the high-tech receiver rat race. In 2019, my Denon AVR 4520 CI DSP chip died. Only the 7.1 analog input worked since it bypassed the DSP circuit. Just 1 month after my extended warranty expired, I took it to a Denon service center, and they could not repair it due to the DSP board no longer being available from Denon. Because I had an 11.1 channel setup, my budget would only allow me to replace it with a Denon AVR X7200WA. It was discontinued, but it could handle all my speakers and was sporadically available from accessories for less. In the meantime, I hooked up an old Pioneer SC65. This is only 9.1 channels, but it includes front wides, so I was content. In April of 2020, I got a back-in-stock alert on the X7200, and I bought it immediately along with a 5-year extended warranty. In April of 2021, I installed 4 Atmos speakers in the ceiling of my theater and had to remove my front heights and rear surrounds from my setup due to channel limitation. I was excited about home theater again. Soon after the receiver failed, after 20 minutes of use, a random surround channel would stop working. I sent the receiver in for repair on August 17th and still have not received it back. In the meantime, I've hooked up the old Pioneer SC65 again. I am working with the warranty company to give me the cash instead of the repair so I can buy another high-end receiver, Denon AVR X8500 13 channel, and another 5-year extended warranty. I love this hobby, but my recent experiences leave me jaded. Just give me 2 channels and a powerful sub. And then he went on and he also said, separate topic. Hearing you talk about the home theater journey inspired me to go through old pictures and of all of his old AV setups going back to 97. And I looked through the pictures. Nice stuff. And I think the oldest one that I was looking at, it's like he's got the same 32-inch television. Maybe it's a little bigger, but same type of 32-inch Sony television surrounded by larger speakers, a living room setup. Pretty cool. But this is what I would say to walk you off the ledge, Kev. I replied to you in an email quickly, but this sounds like, wow, yeah, you have had some really bad luck. To have 2 receivers like that go bad within that amount of time, that's not good. And I feel bad for you. I said, but here's where I'll help you. I got 2 things to say about that. And first I'll say, I'll try to walk you off the ledge. That's home theater. Stuff goes wrong. I've had stuff go wrong like that. I've had things go bad and you get so excited because we're so passionate about home theater. We're so excited when we get new gear. And one of the worst things that can happen, because you anticipate everything that you're going to do once you get your new gear, and then everything goes wrong and you're delayed. And delayed, and it's just brutal. But that's how you learn, and that's what you do learn. And like you said, like a 2-channel setup, I would experiment with that. Have fun with it. I've told the story here. I replied to you in the email that one of my best experiences ever was experiencing what I thought was a 5.1 setup, but it was a 2-channel setup, and everything that you need. The only reason that we have extra channels is so that more people in the room can experience what we're experiencing, and it widens the sweet spot. Try it. Trying to come up with that 2.1 system that can rock you and make you feel like you're watching a 5.1 or a 7.1 or an Atmos setup. It means you're dialed in. Your head's going to have to be in a vice. You're going to have to do, but that's part of the experience. So you take these negatives and try to make them a positive, because home theater, like with your pictures that you sent me, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. Because if it was about the destination, we would have stopped a long time ago and we would have been like, hey, this is great. And then you just stop looking. Unfortunately, you're put into a situation where you have no choice but to keep enjoying more journey because you don't get to enjoy any of what you have yet. But that's what home theater, honestly, I'm like, that's what home theater is. I'm constantly dealing with issues with my own home theater. I'm constant, and they're all my own fault. A lot of my issues are my own fault. And that was going to get me to the next thing. And I don't mean this to be accusatory, Kevin, at all. But when you have something go bad that quickly in two receivers, 2019 into 2020, then 2021, and all of this stuff is going wrong, sometimes it could be user. There might be something in your system, in your electricity, or I don't know. I am not that person. But I'll tell you a quick... losing my voice again, but I'll tell you a quick story of, we got a puppy over the summer and we have hardwood floors everywhere and my puppy pees everywhere and we were tired of cleaning it up. So I bought this, wet dry vac. It's actually it's supposed to be, to clean the floors. It's a carpet cleaner type thing, but it does hardwood floors and it's got these scrubbing brushes, looks like a paint roller that you put on them. And we were using it and it was great. Everything was great. You just go right up to the pee and it sucks up the pee and then you hit the button and you squirt on the floor and it cleans it and everything works awesome. And then all of a sudden it started leaking everywhere. And we're like, we've only had it a week and it's leaking everywhere. So my wife called them up and they sent her another one after trying to work through all the issues. She gets the other one and after a week starts leaking everywhere again. And that's when I was like, maybe it's us, because you can't get two. These are highly rated products. This is supposed to be like a $400 item that's for a vacuum that's supposed to be really good. And what it turned out was we were using it wrong. We weren't drying out the roller in time. You're supposed to have multiple rollers. They give you one to start. And because we had a puppy, we were overusing the one particular roller, but this thing can go and go and go, the vacuum itself. And once we figured that out, things been awesome. And the point is, after all of that, it's like we always want to look at what it is. And I'm not saying you're blaming Denon, but a lot of times, sometimes it could be something within maybe in your wiring or something's frying a chip. You had a chip die and you had this stuff go wrong. Is it possible? Is there something there? I don't know, but I know that's what I do to myself. And that's why I'm asking you. When stuff starts to go wrong, I always ask, what did I do first? Like, what can I do differently? What happened here? And most of the time, it's for me, it's user error. Even myself, like, oh, I connected it to the wrong HDMI input or this and that and whatever. It's just not stupidity, just oversights, you know? So check into that. See what else that you could be doing. And have some fun with the 2.1. set up, or just enjoy the Pioneer. And then when you do get a system, a receiver that works and works well, you'll have a new appreciation for it. So, I don't think you should be on the ledge, because this is home theater and this is what we do. None of us listening to this podcast, I don't think, have the money to just pay somebody to come in and do everything. We all seem to be DIYers to one extent or another. Or have done it at least, and we like to deal with the issues. That's what got us into this hobby in the first place to a degree. So good luck. Let me know how it's going, and let me know what you think. I hope I didn't insult you by trying to say it's your fault, because it's not your fault. I'm just wondering if there's something on your end that's maybe causing it, like in your house, not you in particular. But all right, good luck with that. And other than that, that will be it for this week. I'm going to try to be back. Hopefully I can hook up with Jeff and I'll have that podcast for Friday. So we will see about that, but have a great week, everybody. Thank you, everybody, again. for supporting me. Thank you for everything on Friday. Thank you for all the well wishes. I really appreciate it. And you can follow me. If you're not already, you can follow me on YouTube. You can just go there and hit subscribe at Brightside Home Theater. Or you can follow me on Twitter at BrightsideHD. Email me, brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. And of course, you can always support me monetarily on Patreon. Greatly appreciated, but not necessary. And that's patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. Other than that, have a great week, everybody. I'm just going to be quick. I got to get out of here. Please go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.